Right now on VFN TV, President Trump gives his weekly address. Also, he talks about draining the swamp. Well, guess what? Cindy Jacobs heard a word from the Lord, and God is talking about draining the swamp. And we're going to talk about the faithfulness of God. When he's promised it, you can count on it. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom, the evil one was on trial, and the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge, and as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down, and the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year. Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again in America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never, ever fail to touch my heart. That's, I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to his will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship? And what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already?
It's repaired as soon as I...
Within 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, we heard over and over again on the campaign trail about draining the swamp from our now current president. Did you know that God spoke to Cindy Jacobs in a prophetic dream about literally it's God draining the swamp? It's amazing. But first, we want to go to Washington, D.C. and hear the weekly address from the president, President Donald Trump, as he shares with us what's happening this week. Take a look.
As one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Fellow Americans, this week, in the company of astronauts, I was honored to sign the NASA Transition Authorization Act right into law. With this legislation, we renew our national commitment to NASA's mission of exploration and discovery, and we continue a tradition that is as old as mankind. We look to the heavens with wonder and curiosity. More than two decades ago, one scientist followed this curiosity and dramatically changed our understanding of the universe. The year was 1995. Taxpayers were spending billions and billions of dollars on NASA's Hubble Space Telescope. The astronomer in charge had a novel idea. He wanted to use the expensive telescope in a totally unconventional way. Instead of pointing Hubble's eye at nearby stars or distant formations, Robert Williams wanted to peer into the void. He aimed the massive telescope at one of the emptiest regions of the night sky. For 10 days during Christmas of 1995, Hubble stared into the abyss, seeking whatever light it could glean from the darkness, and it was total darkness. Fellow astronomers didn't know if he'd see much of anything. But Williams was rewarded, and the entire world was struck by the awesome images of our satellite return. In that tiny patch of sky, the Hubble Deep Field showed thousands of lights. Each brilliant spot represented not a single star, but an entire galaxy. The discovery was absolutely incredible. But the unforgettable image did not satisfy our deep hunger for knowledge. It increased ever more and even more, and reminded us how much we do not know about space, frankly, how much we do not know about life. With this week's NASA reauthorization, We continue progress on Hubble's successor, the James Webb Space Telescope. It is amazing. The Webb Telescope is set to launch next year. It will gaze back through time and space to the very first stars and the earliest galaxies in the universe. We can only imagine what incredible visions it will bring. At a time when Washington is consumed with the daily debates of our nation, I was proud that Congress came together overwhelmingly to reaffirm our nation's commitment to expanding the frontiers of knowledge. NASA's greatest discoveries teach us many, many things. One lesson is the need to view old questions with fresh eyes, to have the courage to look for answers in places we have never looked before, to think in new ways because we have new information. Most of all, new discoveries remind us that in America, anything is possible if we have the courage and wisdom to learn. In the span of one lifetime, our nation went from black and white pictures of the first airplanes to beautiful images of the oldest galaxies captured by a camera in outer space. I am confident that if Americans can achieve these things, there is no problem we cannot solve. There is no challenge we cannot meet. There is no aim that is too high. Whatever it takes and however long it will be, we are a nation of problem solvers, and the future belongs to us. We are truly a great place to be. I love America.
This is so exciting, is it not? I remember going out with my father. My father's name is Zero Lancaster. Hey, Dad. I remember going out, I believe in 1968, we were living in a part of Pensacola, Florida at that time, and we were looking up knowing that that was the time that that they were landing on the moon. It was an exciting time for all, you know, of America. But now you're looking at where they're talking about going to Mars, and you're seeing these other universes out there, these other Milky Ways, if you would, all out there. It's just amazing what's going on. And now it's just like when President John F. Kennedy said, you know, the things were really confused at that time in the nation. Some riots were going on. It was some difficult times. Civil rights issues were happening in America. You know, war was beginning. And they began to focus all of our attention on going to the moon. And everybody got together on it. And it was just amazing. Well, it's being funded now. NASA's being funded by our president. It's all kicking back out again. And it's kicking in again. It's just exciting to see those things take place. Do you remember when there was a joint session of Congress and President Trump came together and he talked about draining the swamp? And what he's talking about, based on our understanding, is corrupt government. This is what God told us prophetically. He told me that there was a house of cards in Washington, D.C., and that it was all going to come down. He told others that a whim was going to come in and begin to remove all the strongholds, and like almost like a hurricane wind. He told others that it was going to be like a bulldozer coming through. He told Lance Wallnew it was going to be like a wrecking ball. And that's dealing with strongholds and cleaning out, if you would, the swamp, draining the swamp. I want to remind you of what he said when he was standing before the joint session of Congress. This is President Trump.
We have begun to drain the swamp of government corruption by imposing a 5-year ban on lobbying by executive branch officials and a lifetime ban. Thank you. Thank you. And a lifetime ban on becoming lobbyists foreign government.
If you've read Proverbs and read the Word of God, I mean, God speaks specifically about corrupt leadership, corrupt judges, corrupt business folks. I mean, he is totally against unjust scales. And that's been happening in America. You know, some of the reports are that people run for office, they buddy up to one of these big industries, they pass laws to benefit that industry, and then that industry hires them and puts them on the board or hires them to give speeches and these different things and transfers his wealth into that person that you voted for to represent you was actually representing that company. Well, he's putting an end to that. That's what he's saying. But I got to talk to you after the break, because right after the break, we're going to hear about God speaking to Cindy Jacobs and gave a prophetic dream literally about draining the swamp. Join me after the break.
This is
VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And that so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
To VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, we heard for quite some time about draining the swamp, and now we're seeing this joint session of Congress where the president is saying he's going to drain the swamp, and we're beginning to understand, you know, what that actually means. Mm-hmm. Well, Cindy Jacobs, she moves in the prophetic. She's been well-known around the world, and she had a vision, literally, about draining the swamp. John, tell us about it.
She writes, as I was praying for the nation today.
This is Cindy Jacobs.
Cindy Jacobs, I had a vision of a swamp being drained. However, as it was emptying, there was a number of swamp creatures that became visible. There were alligators and poisonous snakes, among others. Suddenly, a big war began over the remaining swamp water. The creatures began to turn on each other for territory. And then I saw swamp hunters aggressively wade into the mix. The battle was horrific, and the hunters suffered injury, but they continued fighting on. The interpretation of this is that the situation in Washington is going to heat up even more. It is going to get vicious, and it will heat up until it will seem too difficult to see really what is happening. I realize that this vision was given to me to encourage us as intercessors for the nation, and to have the courage to aggressively fight for righteousness. More things that are hidden are going to come to light. Some of the swamp creatures are going to turn on each other.
So you're looking at it. So what she's saying is, Cindy Jacobs is... Is my mic coming over good here? Cindy Jacobs is saying that it's going to get bad. Because this stuff is so deep-rooted down in American soil.
Oh, yeah.
It's deep-rooted down in American soil and in the heart of this country for quite some years, probably about 100 years. This progressive movement has been basically, you know, big government and saying that, you know,
rights come from the government.
Rights come from government, not from God. And so they're in judiciary branch, they're in the executive, they're in the executive branch, they're in all these cabinet under seats and all across the land. They're probably in some local government around where you are, and it's going to be, you know, the swamp is not just in D.C. It's all connected, and it's real interesting. Some people are against things like this until they find out, what am I getting with this? If they get something from it, they say, well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Leave that creature in there. That creature can stay.
When I think we're all going to be humbled during this time. Oh, yeah. How much are we dependent on government and how much are we dependent on God? Because it's been built on small government. But this is exciting because, you know, and also I think about Trey Gowdy. You know, we had Trey Gowdy, he was speaking at Liberty. We had him on VFN-TV where he gave a speech specifically like, what are you willing to die for? Hmm. A lot of people are willing to live for a nation that ends with them in a mansion, a nice car, a ski trip, and a vacation to the Bahamas, if they get something out of it. But are we willing to lay down our life for those that come after us?
Yeah.
Are we willing to do what's right?
The founding fathers were willing to lay it all down. You know, their sacred honor, their wealth, everything, you know.
They laid every bit of it down. Yeah.
When they signed their names to the Declaration of Independence, that wasn't, you know,
there were hanging signature. Folks. That
was real. I mean, that was like, I'm giving it all up right now.
Yes.
And everyone talks about the John Hancock signature, but he made it nice and big and bold saying, start with me, basically.
And if you missed our earlier program, we had a program about heaven. Mm. And I'm not saying that so that you die to go to heaven. I'm just saying, like, understand it's not about this life.
Yeah.
Understand God's with us right now, and he wants us to stand up with him. And we need to support. When somebody wants to save the country, save our borders, save the Declaration of Independence, and promote the freedom of the church to be able to express itself. And, you know, come on. I mean, we need to stand up
for
that.
That's a good thing.
That's actually a good thing and a mercy thing. What else does she say in this vision?
She continues to say that more exposures are coming. We need to pray for those who are fighting for what is right in Washington. And when you see the swamp war getting more vicious, press in deeper in intercession. It is a sign that progress is being made.
You know, we have a program, I don't know if you've seen it yet, it's going to be coming up, we're going to do that. It's about literally witches are going out in different areas of the country and speaking, you know, spells. Trying to bind the president and trying to, the Cyrus anointing off of him. I mean, they're tapping into to what they know, but they don't have the power to do that. But we got to pray that doesn't happen. We got to pray and support and realize the swamp is fighting. You know what it is? Think about this. This is what somebody that came out of communism. This is what he said. He said communism is the biggest temptation to a man's soul, his flesh, because this is what they say. They say we'll take care of you. We will take care of you. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you have this Wendy's commercial, but if you could find that Wendy's commercial where I'm talking about this. But you think about this, that they say they're going to take care of you. You don't have to, we're going to give you a job. Matter of fact, you can just play instruments. The vice president of the previous administration said, listen, learn to play your guitar. And, you know, like, what about, got to work, got to get a job. And they were trying to shift everybody. And it wasn't just them. It was been a whole movement over a period of time, to a place of allowing the government to take care of your needs. And all of a sudden, once you do that, they control you. Now, we're possibly, you know, this is a window of time. This is a window of time. And I'm going to talk more about that in a second. But communism, Wendy's got in trouble for playing this commercial, because this is exactly, even though they promise you all these wonderful things, everything ends up being gray behind bars and camps. As a matter of fact, this is a Wendy's commercial looking at communism years ago.
Other games sold separately. Your parents help you hook it up.
Pay attention, please. Thank you. It's next day there.
Having no choice is no fun. That's why at Wendy's, every hamburger isn't dressed the same. You get your choice of fresh toppings, fresh tomatoes, fresh lettuce, fresh onions, cheese, bacon, and more. Having a choice is better than none.
Is next, swim there.
Choose fresh. Choose Wendy's.
So what this says is communism says we'll make the choice for you. So the people that are trying to give up their rights are giving up their right to choose, because the government will choose for you. There is a window of time now. This, we're fighting for freedom and every moment of freedom. I like what the movie, I don't think it was called maybe Deliverance or I can't think of the name of that movie. It wasn't Deliverance, but it was about the Jews that fought and did whatever they had to do.
Defiance.
Defiance. You've got to see that.
Yeah.
You know? That it, to do whatever it takes to be able to keep your freedom. And they fought every day for that. And he said, every day that we fight is a day that we fight for freedom.
Yeah, government has become way too powerful. And we've, there's a whole, you know, group of people that try to shift an entire nation to be dependent upon government. But just in a previous program, we talked about turning a city back to God. And oftentimes in this program, we've talked about how sometimes Hollywood knows a little bit more about what God is doing. Just recently, the Country Music Awards, Reba McEntire and Lauren Daigle, a Christian contemporary artist, were singing a new album about turning back to God.
Yeah, I saw that when it came out.
Yeah,
I saw the thing. That was awesome.
This is so encouraging. Like, everyone understands that it's not about government.
Right.
This is about turning a nation back to God. And that's what we've been praying for, revival and a great awakening. This is what it's all about.
I think what's important to understand, say, everything goes according to clockwork, and we get back to this particular freedom and the Declaration is still just a window of time.
Yeah.
We're probably 4 years away, if not sooner, of a technology takeover. Some of the things we'll be talking about in the future is artificial intelligence, not in robots, literally merging with the internet, and all of a sudden it begins to just kind of take over. And that's always been people's biggest concern, so much so that the Tesla,
Elon Musk
said that's the reason why I want to build a colony on Mars, because if we don't do that, men will exterminate himself by the technology burst. He's putting $1 billion of his own money into stopping artificial intelligence being closed down just for Google.
Well, Stephen Hawking, a bunch of these guys.
Stephen Hawking and DeepThink is the one that's working with Google to basically control AI, according to what they're saying. And they don't want, he doesn't want just one company to control that. He wants it to be open source, where everybody can, you know, being controlled by one corporation. Well, right now we're just moments away from that. So say we get all this freedom, we still have a moment of time. I believe the greatest harvest of souls is coming to the kingdom of God. We're getting ready, not so we can get a bigger boat or so that we can get more stuff and things. It's so that we can have the freedom to preach the gospel and go to all the nations and to broadcast as much truth as we can while we can, because suddenly, you know, our Lord's going to come back for us, and we have to be ready for that. And he's going to bring a big harvest of souls with us. We're probably, some of the reports are right now, 4 years away from
that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we're probably 8 years away from people putting chips in their head, literally sliding a chip in and having extra boosted, basically taking their phone, which people are stuck to now, and just putting that technology in their head so they can just tap into it. I know we're not talking about that. We got to go to break. But right now they've put limbs on people, artificial limbs that have been injured from war, and which is a great thing. And they tap into the nervous system to where they can just like you think now, and you move your hand around.
Oh yeah.
They have the same thoughts, and their leg moves, and just like your ear moves. And it's like, that's how accurate they're tapping into these things. So you put your phone into your brain, and now you just think about that stuff, and instantly an entire book is downloaded into your brain. I know it sounds crazy, but this is happening. Really, we're not into the freaky stuff. This is just reality.
This is real.
It's taking place. And so this freedom that we have, it's not about we'll be restricted in communism. It's the very fact that they'll stop us from preaching the gospel. We want to use this freedom. Don't waste another moment just sitting around your house watching other stupid TV program. Get involved. Support VFN TV. Come and join us. Get discipled. Get ready for the harvest that's coming. Listen, we have this break. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about the promises of God, because you know what? God is not a liar. When he tells he's going to do something, he's going to do something. And when he says he's going to bring somebody in that's going to drain the swamp, guess what? Even to our current president's surprise, when he became president, God did it. I mean, God, this is the only way it could have happened, because it was 80% the other candidate and 20% him going to be making it in. But God just shifted things overnight. It's just amazing what he's doing. But understand, he also said he's coming back. He also says that we're going to be accountable for our lives and what we do for our lives. And he's telling us right now, prepare for the harvest. A great harvest is coming in. The way you do that is to be discipled. Another way is to fight. Listen, we have this offer for you. It's our partners, people that give financially to VFN TV. They help us stay on the air. That's why we're here. And so you think about that. When this fight comes on, this good fight of faith that we have to fight, you need some tools. This right here says, I will fight. Seven steps for fighting for success. It's so important. It really breaks it down, and it helps you understand a lot of times why we're losing the battle in our life is because we're not mastering our minds. We're letting our minds just do whatever. We're letting technology just put thoughts in our mind, or media put thoughts in our mind. And people spend their whole life in this cycle of destruction. Listen, you got to fight. We want to send this to you for free. As a matter of fact, here's the details.
Offer 2030. I will fight. Seven fighting steps for success. There is nothing worth more celebrating than for someone who stepped up against all odds and fought life and all its obstacles and broke through with success. In this message, you'll be inspired, encouraged, but also challenged, as we're told to fight the good fight of faith. You'll be given seven key strategies to help you fight effectively and how to succeed. You'll discover how relevant and the expectations of Jesus are directly to you when he explained the kingdom of God and how he entrusted to you certain talents and how he expects us to do something with what he entrusted to us so that what we do brings him glory. You'll learn that as a believer here on this earth, the odds will be stacked against you in the natural, but to look beyond what you see in the natural, knowing that the odds are in your favor all the time. There is so much in this message that it can shift your life and mindsets into the exciting new adventure that God has called you to be in Him. I believe when you listen and absorb this truth, you too will be ready to proclaim as David, Gideon, and so many others, I will fight. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now. Or you can write to us by mail at VFN TV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2030. I will fight. 7 fighting steps for success.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Are American veterans having their rights restricted? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekula.
My question is about the rights of veterans that are in nursing homes. I was asked by the veterans there to come and pray with them and do a Bible study.
Did they stop your Bible study now?
Yes, they stopped me, and even the head chaplain called and said, we can't do this because what if there is one Arabic person? I said, this is not...
Well, let me tell you right now that the chaplain's just absolutely incorrect. Bible studies can take place on military installations. They could take place in military hospitals. And it's not off limits. And we're going to get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help.
Help the American Center for Law and Justice battle key issues that face your faith and family. Learn more about what you can do by visiting us online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Sarita Lambert from Vacaville, California, who's a singer and songwriter, said, John, on your Minute with Maxwell today, talk about fortitude. I was just in St. Augustine, Florida. Our two granddaughters are in the fourth grade, and so we took all the grandchildren and the kids for a weekend, and we visited a fort. And the fort in St. Augustine, they were very proud of because it had never been conquered. No one had ever knocked it down. Nobody had ever gotten through the barriers. And they'd been successful for literally over 100 years. When I saw that fort, I thought it was built for strength. It was built to stand. But when you put fort, thinking of a fort, with attitude, fortitude, it means that you have an attitude that's strong. It means you have an attitude that can withstand adversity. It means you have an attitude that can withstand the onslaughts of people who want to do you in and knock you down. It's a wonderful, wonderful attitude. It's one that says, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to be strong. I'm not going to let what happens to me affect what happens in me. I think that's fortitude.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I had the great chance to take my wife on her birthday to Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
We went to Mobile, the one port, right?
Port of One,
and the Canopy Prayer City.
Yes, Canopy of Prayer. April 29th, right?
Yeah, April 29th. Make sure you sign up for that. It's at canopy.one.
Yes, it is.
Canopy.one. Instead of .com, it's like .one.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to pray over the entire city. The mayor made a proclamation about that. You got to see. As a matter of fact, you can go back on our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel now. We're beginning, but also you can find it at VFNTV.com. But listen to this. There was an exhibit there, and it was IMAX Theater, and it's called Water.
Hmm.
And it's in Africa, and it shows the journey of water. And it begins with the dry plains, it's deserts, and the elephants are walking for miles to get one mud puddle that they would dig through, and they're just all thirsty that, you know, a crocodile would be hiding out in a small little mud puddle. Why the deer, not the deer, but the elk or whatever, would come over there and they'd start, and they would jump out, and that was their only chance for a meal. I mean, everything just got so dry, you know? And then all of a sudden, they show in this huge IMAX theater and all these dimensions, it began to rain. And then they show the water coming down the mountain, and then a stream, and the streams became, you know, rivers, and the rivers became, and all of a sudden, Africa just came alive. And all of a sudden, there was things blooming, and there was just, you know, elephants were all in the water everywhere, and hippopotamus, and all the animals were just living and thriving and giving birth, and all these things, it's because the water came.
Wow.
And then they showed the whole season to where it gets to the point where all of a sudden the water starts to dry up, then the plants start to dry up, and the population gets sparse, mills get sparse, you have to go further to be able to get water. And it's the cycle of water, what it's all about. What makes me think about the scripture, Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. I mean, think about this. This is what it says. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose which I sent it for. I mean, you think about that. When you see this, you got to see this. It's IMAX. It's like God saying, just the way that desert was dry and it seemed everything, life was sparse. But once water came, it brought life to everything. Do you know when God's word, his word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. When you read God's word and you hide his word in your heart, when you abide with God, it's like watering your soul. You know, all of a sudden your everything begins to grow in your life again. And a lot of people really want to do that, but they don't have a plan how to abide with God. Hmm. Jesus said this. He said, in John 15, he says, the Father's the gardener, that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches and we're called to grow, but we can only grow if we abide in his word. His word is water to our soul, which causes us to grow and to bear fruit. But he says we can't bear fruit unless we abide. So a lot of people want to abide, but they just don't really know how to do that. They just need a plan. That's all they need is a plan. Guess what? We have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. You can request your simple plan, simple abiding plan, and we'll send it to you right away in your email so you'll have it instantly. It's iabide.org. When you get this, it's going to just encourage you and show you. I remember when I was talking about this plan, you know, Father God just showed up in a powerful way and embraced us because there's so many simple things that we can do to abide with him and some simple steps. And God begins to just water your life. And just like the life came to Africa during that season of rain, the life will come to you. He is the living word, the water of God. And so I want to encourage you that remembering the word of God, remembering what he said to you, the promises of God, and that you can read his word, and if he says it, that settles it, and you can hang on to that word.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if it seems dry everywhere else. You can hold on to that word, and we're seeing people right now that, you know, they're plotting and planning against our country. They're plotting and planning against our government. They're scheming against God. How can we get God, you know, out of the schools? How can we get God out of America? I mean, they're scheming against God. And I think about Acts chapter 4, verse 25 through 26. And this is David, what David said, and they're talking about it. He says, why do nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord, against his anointed one. And it's like, it's been happening, ever since the beginning of time in the garden, mm-hmm. Satan has been warring against and trying to war against God. And that's what you're seeing. So it's not unusual. The thing for us is to believe their lie and to surrender instead of saying, you know what, no matter what you're doing, God told me that his word waters my soul. God tells me if I preach his word, it'll change my community. It'll change my family. It'll change my culture. There's power. It's a living, active word of God. And also reminds me of Psalms 21:11, when he says, you know, though they plot evil against you, and they do that, and wicked schemes against you, he says, they cannot succeed. And if you study the word of God and you just look, that God doesn't let someone get one up on you if you're faithful. I mean, you know, he's bigger than all. Look how many times Israel, the enemies tried to attack Israel. And it's like, this is a little small little country that would fit in just New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm reminded with what Joseph said, what the enemy meant for evil.
Yeah.
You know, God will turn for good. So even if things look like they're right. bad in the beginning, God is an expert, right. a genius at making that evil thing turn out to be a wonderful testimony, and his, you know, he'll do something beautiful out of it.
And what the enemy wants to do by making these threats they can't deliver is you to believe it, so you deliver it.
Yeah.
Well, you stop watering the ground. You stop watering your life. You stop watering your family. You stop going to fellowship with other believers where you hear the word taught to you and preached to you. And water of God's word just sanctifies your soul. I mean, literally. And that's the only way you can do it. You got to actually give your freedom away. And you can't take it. But so often people hear the negative and they think they let go of the promises of God. And you can hold on to the promises of God. I mean, it doesn't matter what people are saying, and realize your biggest test in your faith is going to be the greatest threat that's going to take away the very thing that God said you're going to have.
Just doubt. That's why he wants to sprinkle doubt on what God's doing in your life and what he wants to bring forth. Exactly what you're saying.
That is. And so the thing is, it's called faith. Keeping your faith in God and his word and his promises. And no, it doesn't matter. And you're going to see, as we talked about with Cindy Jacobs and what God revealed to her in the vision, there's going to be a lot of threats and people saying these different things. But it's for you to go, this is what God said. God said the seed of the righteous is going to rise and the seed of evil is going to come down. He said he's going to bring judgment on the evil one. And as soon as he does that, great provision is going to come. He says he's going to drain the swamp. He says he's going to, you know, we're going to be able to defend Israel. God's given him generals to be able to defend Israel so she can stay in her land. As it was then, so it is now. I mean, that's what God's going to do. Are you going to hold on to that? Are you going to just listen to these naysayers that are saying things that are contrary to that?
Wow.
And I know we got to go to break, but there's also one other word, Proverbs 21:30, that says, listen, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord, which means if he said this is what's going to happen, if he says this is what's going to happen, guess what? It's going to happen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. If he says, you know, you're 100 years old and your wife's 90 years old, and he says you're going to have a baby, you know, and it's going to happen.
You're going to have a baby.
You're going to have a baby. You know, you're going to, and that's what happened to Abraham, right?
That's right.
You're going to have a baby, the father of many. If he says that his word waters your soul, you know, let the word water your soul and begin to think, you know what? I'm beginning to grow things, good things in my life. Because of the washing of the water of the word. Listen, we're going to talk more about the promises of God, and hopefully we're going to encourage you to hold on. Remember those words spoken over you. Remember what God said to you. It's time to believe again and to water that word and to focus yourself. And really what's about to happen, you really got to know what God is saying, because everything that contradicts that is probably going to crank up with different immediates going on. Join us after the break.
Minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love, because all of us, we get tired, we want to quit every week, and we look at each other and go, no, let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do. We're supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst that we really could walk away with greater courage.
How do I love my enemy?
I think that love begins with the common human experience that we all have. And I think that the loving your enemy gets down to the basic human issues: air, water, lights, food, family, basic human essentials. At least let's love on the level that we exist, and then debate on the level that we think. But we have lost all respect and civility. And I think that it comes back to just respecting people because God made them. Mm-hmm. And how can you say you love God who you have not seen,
right,
and hate that that is a reflection that he created? You cannot worship him up there while you resent him right here.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about, you know, the promises of God, and we're going to share a couple testimonies of just give you some examples, and there's so many of them that we can't even keep track of all of them. I mean, VFN TV is definitely one of those.
Yeah.
100 countries, come on. I mean, it's amazing what God does. But think about this. You know, when you see a man, I mean, you read a contract today, you got to read the contract. The only reason you read the contract is to find the loophole in the thing, because they're looking for a way out, or they're looking for a way they can't get out. But Numbers 23:19 tells us that God's not like that. God, it says, God, this is the word of God says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man, or a human being, this particular version says, that he should change his mind. And it's important to understand that if God said it, you can bank on it.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak and then not act, or promise and not fulfill. I mean, that's unusual. You know? I mean, right now we have a particular president that a British Parliament leader was standing up in Parliament saying he is the first politician ever criticized for making promises on the campaign trail and keeping them when he got the job. Well, obviously, he's a human being. He makes mistakes and all that. But our God is not. Our God is God. And if he says this is it, this is it. If he says that if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you ask him to forgive your sins, he's the Lord of your life, he's forgiven your sins, and you're in. I mean, that's it.
That's
living your life for him. And when he promises you something, and listen, God's got a plan for your life. As so many people, John, surrender that plan and they're miserable because everything they went for didn't pay off.
Mm.
Their soul is still empty. I think about, too, Second Corinthians 1:20, he says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ Jesus. Mm. Think about that. So he keeps his word. If he said yes, the answer is yes. I think about, you know, I remember when I was a brand new believer and we had a school that we were taking over in our church, and we were taking pledges up for a new roof over this school because I needed a total new roof. And just by faith, you know, I just like, you know, I'm gonna make a pledge for I mean, it was $1,000. And I was the type of person, well, you know, if it doesn't come from the pennies from heaven, then I'm gonna get the money. So I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna fulfill this thing. But I was praying and believing God for it, and I was a law enforcement officer at that time, wasn't flowing in the money as if we are now. But it was coming due. It was time to pay the pledge up. And I didn't have it. You know, I prayed for it, asked for it, didn't have it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go borrow it. I'm going to pay the pledge. I'm going to do. It's amazing how people don't think that way.
Oh,
God.
No.
But I was going to, I said it, I'm going to do it. And when I went the week I was going to go do that, that week, God spoke to somebody. When they were praying, told them specifically to come to my house and give me a check for $1,000.
Come on.
I mean, think about it.
Come on.
But, you know, it was in my heart to do it. I wasn't just like, okay, I'm not going to do it, God. If you don't care, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I was going to do that. And, of course, that building was used to touch the world, you know, for revival and some great things that took place right there. You have some testimonies?
Yeah, I do, you know.
We're talking about the promises of God, the faithfulness of God.
The Lord says that, you know, if you honor him with the tithes and offerings, that he will bless you. He will pour out the windows of heaven. And I remember that we were, you know, getting ready to have family. Actually, so many testimonies, but I remember one time really early on where God tested this for us, and I share this testimony often, that it was time to pay the tithe. That was my wife and I, we've been married 18 years now, but this was early on in our marriage. She wasn't working, and we were going to pay the tithe, but I knew that we didn't have enough money to cover the power bill. Mm-hmm. And so Monday she calls me, you know, pay the tithe on Sunday. Said, we're just going to honor the Lord. We're going to trust God. You know, that's all we're going to do. And Monday she calls me and says, well, they're coming and they're going to cut it off.
Right.
And I said, well, we're just going to trust God, you know, see what happens. So I wound up coming home a little bit early that day, and the mail normally runs at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock, or I remember later in the evening, and I happened to see the mailman. And sure enough, I just went to the mailbox and pulled some letters out, and the very first letter I read said, "This is your breakthrough, your financial breakthrough."
Wow.
And I laughed out loud. Ah! And I turned the next one, and the next letter was an actual financial gift to us. It was a check for almost the exact amount that was owed to Gulf Power. So as the guy's pulling up, I said, "Stop it. I've got it right here."
Oh, man. I wish I could share this. We probably don't have time to share it. But, you know, God called me into ministry. I was in business and, you know, and just everything was going good in business. But God called me. Things changed.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I struggled with the call, and I finally said, "I'm going to go. I don't care if I lose everything, if everything goes. You know, I'm just going to just follow God. If all I got is my family and God, that's fine." Yeah. I could quit trying to think about this thing and just started stepping out in faith. And God moved powerfully. The ministry was being blessed. God's presence was just powerful. And I was just trusting God. I didn't know what was going to happen at that particular time. And you got to hear from God. I mean, God called me. It was confirmed through an apostle in my life. And so I'm proofing a letter. I'm walking up from my office, and my office was located at that time behind the home. And I'm walking into the house to give a letter to Donna, my wife, to proof it. And somebody was in our living room crying. And I'm like, you know, ministry mode. I'm like, "Are you saying everything okay? Is everything all right?" And she says, tell him what you said." And he goes, "Well, I came here to give you this check. This is the right thing to do." And it was for $80,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Dollars.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was the very thing that we needed to be able to pay our house down to where we only owed, like at that time, or maybe about, because of that, like $9,000 or something on our house, which enabled us to be in ministry. And, I mean, God spoke to this person, and I'm like, "Are you sure now? You need to make sure this is right. Like, this is a big deal."
Yeah.
And they're like, this is the right thing to do. And God... I didn't know about. I just trusted God. God said it. I was willing to give up everything for Him, and He came and did this miracle on our behalf. Listen, you can hold on to what God says. So many people are trying to figure it out in their heads. They're trying to hack life. They're trying to sneak around, and instead of just do the work and trust God and have faith in what He says. And God loves you.
That's right.
God's got a plan for your life. If He said it, you can count on it. And just like the water came down in Africa and watered the ground and brought life, the Word of God and the promises of God will do the same thing to your life. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we love You. We thank You, Lord God, that Your word is true. You said the seed of evil is coming down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise, and that You're going to bring judgment on the evil one. And when You do that, provision is going to come. You said it. We believe it. And we hold on to it for our audience, Father God. And Lord, I just pray right now that You bless those that are listening and those that are watching, Father God. And we ask You, Lord God, to end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTB.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTB.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear His voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear His voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear His word. We need to get to know His voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know His voice better. and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, so that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.